This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. I want to remind you to go see the G-Bag Nation today at Globe Life Field before Rangers Tigers, which, of course, you can hear right here on 105 Through the Fan. Tomorrow, yeah. Eric Chiafalo, get ready for this. He'll be at the New Alliance Hyundai in Fort Worth off of 35 West and Golden Triangle Boulevard. The giveaway is happening there. Free Hurtado barbecue while it lasts.
Get there before he eats it all.
That is a good point. A free oil change to the first 50 people.
He's changing it too, isn't he?
I don't think so. Okay. I would love to see that. There's no way he could change oil that fast. $100 gift card every 30 minutes. Giveaways to Six Flags, Lumineers tickets, Nine Inch Nails tickets.
Okay. Woo! Will he sing any of the Nine Inch Nails songs while he's there?
I wanna eat you like an animal. I would love to hear that one.
My existence is flawed.
That one happens.
You
Did you forget Closer to God? Was that the part of you?
No, I said Closer to God, and then I wanted to do that. That's it. Who did a better song with Hurt? Johnny Cash, Nine Inch Nails, or The Gangster, The Killer, and The Dope Dealer?
Well, obviously, I'm not going to answer that. I will let the fan text do that because we need to get into the damn segment anyway.
Sorry.
What are your... No need to apologize. You can just ask that to the fan text. It's fair. They'll answer. What are your goals for the rest of the Rangers regular season? And I wanted to make the regular season because I didn't want everyone to be like, go win the World Series. Like, rock on. I get it. But if they're going to make the playoffs, which I assume is everyone's end goal for this, like, what are some things that you would like to see that you believe could accomplish that?
I'd like to see Jonah Heim get right at the plate.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to see Kumar Rocker continue to get better as a pitcher. I think he got off to, obviously, a not a great start, set him down. And Boach just, I'll tell you what, this guy just knows what buttons to push.
Yes, he does.
Ever since they brought him back from, you know, they sent him down to AAA for, what, a week, 2 weeks, whatever it was, and I want to say the last four or five games he's been out there, I think ever since, like, that Tampa Bay game where he got rocked, like, early June or whatever it was, I mean, he's had 5 to 6 innings solid. I don't think he's given up more than 2 runs, if I'm not mistaken, so I'd like to see more of that. And you're going to need to see somebody not name Adolis, Seager, or dare I say Semien.
Get
hot at the plate.
We talked about this for an entire segment earlier this week. The rise of the Texas Rangers offense started essentially around June 1st. The rise of Marcus Semien started around June 1st. Yeah. Those two have run parallel for
I don't disagree with you. And again, that and you know what? That's a testament to Marcus Semien. This guy was batting 173, got dropped to 9th in the lineup.
Yes.
All right. Never lost his composure. Never stopped going out there battling. And, you know, he was on G-Bag for their player show about a month and a half ago. Got the G-Bag bump. Can't say enough about that. And they asked him about, you know, he just talked about, you know, going out to the field every day and never losing faith in what he does. And there's something he said for that. And I think that has a lot to do with why this guy has been, what, a 350 batter over the last 6-7 weeks of the season.
Now, I'm not going to say this is going to be a difference maker. Just a note, Justin Foskey once again recalled from AAA Round Rock. He's had a heck of a year at AAA that just hasn't necessarily translated. Going back to last year and in a short sample size this year, I hope it turns around for him. All right, I've seen a couple of people already send this in, and I will admit I am pretty high on this.
Okay.
I would also really love to see DeGrom or Eovaldi win the Cy Young. This is a generational pitching staff for the Rangers. This is the best starting pitching staff they've ever had.
Yeah.
And this is obviously the best I've ever seen. They completely rebuilt their bullpen, and up until probably 2 to 3 weeks ago, their bullpen was rocking and rolling as well.
Yeah.
This franchise has never had a Cy Young Award winner. Oh. They have had at least at least five MVP awards that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay.
They have never had a Cy Young Award winner. I think they have two candidates that are in position to do it.
I agree.
My concern is you're already leveling off DeGrom. They're going to skip him through this time in the rotation because you got to get his innings down because you really want him for the playoffs.
You do.
And so I wonder if missing those key three, four games will like de facto give it to Scooble or whoever.
No, look, as long as he keeps winning, he's Jacob DeGrom.
Sure.
Two things have to happen.
But you don't think Nathan Eovaldi will get that same like benefit of the doubt, do you?
Not necessarily, but he's already missed his time, right?
That's
he missed
true.
His month, and again, in the words of Marty Schottenheimer, it's not about how you start, it's where you finish. So, these two guys go
out.
Is it
fascinating that he would have that saying?
The only reason I say that is because that he said that to Ted Johnson at their draft dinner.
Okay.
And he said he knew right then and there that the Chiefs were not going to draft him in 1994. So, that said, we love comeback stories.
Sure.
Okay. We love them in life. We love them in sports. And I think Jacob DeGrom has kind of, I mean, you know, look, baseball purist nerds are appreciating what Jacob DeGrom's doing.
Agreed.
I don't know that the casual is appreciating what Jacob DeGrom has done just yet. I think there's an appreciation, but I don't know that they're really like accepting it for what it is. Like, nobody, raise your hand if you thought he was going to do what he's done so far this year.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, even the most diehard, I would, hey, Mike Maddox, off the record, did you expect Jacob DeGrom to pace your team the way he has and look like, I mean, he's a Cy Young favorite right now. Doesn't mean he's going to win one, but he's definitely in that conversation. If he continues to pitch the way he's pitched so far, I'm not saying he's a favorite, I'm not saying he's a lock to win it, but he will definitely be in the conversation. But this team has to continue winning, and they have to be in contention for the wild card like they are today for him to get that that bump, so to speak.
And somebody mentioned Fergie Jenkins being great, and he won 25 games here. I'm not disputing that the Rangers have had great
Absolutely.
Pitchers.
Absolutely, that's not the point.
They've just never had a Cy Young Award winner. I would really love to see that. Like, we all want to make the playoffs first and foremost, but I would love to see that. By the way, just an update, not a Cy Young update, but a pitching update.
Okay.
John Gray is going to make one more rehab start tomorrow, with the plan being that he joins the club late next week.
Okay.
Now, of course, I know the intrigue there will be joins the club as what? I said this time and time again last year. I believe if he's up for it, and I think he would be, that's your closer. I do not think that you need to go find a closer.
Really?
I think John Gray can be your closer.
Has he done it before?
Nope. So this is all not at a particularly high, not at the major league level consistently, but I think that he is the man for the job.
I will defer to you on this.
He has the stuff for it.
That's just it, right? And I we've talked about this before. I am shocked that more pitchers didn't go the John Smoltz route.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell me that you could add another 4 to 5 years on your career and you know, maybe if you're a fringe Hall of Famer or fringe whatever, and put 4 or 5 years of just solid closing under your belt for one inning.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that. It's one of the things about baseball that flummoxes me is why that doesn't happen more often.
And that's one of the things that I think, believe it or not, this might sound counterintuitive. John Gray is really tough on himself.
Yeah.
So I think when he has a bad start, the fact that that has to sit with him for 5 days is tough. So I know.
Oh, okay. So you're saying short memory, just go out, get right tomorrow.
Exactly. And I think the idea that he could fix it the next day as opposed to 5 days from then.
You might be onto something.
I think could be a good deal. Although I understand, we talked to him spring training this year, and he said nobody had talked to him about that. And we had all kind of had that discussion, but he said they haven't had that discussion. I wonder now if that discussion has happened. And when you see him come back, let's see what happens in the ninth inning.
You need a closer. This musical chairs thing.
Sure.
I like Robert Garcia as much as Mrs. Garcia does. However, I don't want him as my closer. He's good for one inning. You bring him out for two.
Yeah,
we got problems.
Now, I think this is another fair one. We were talking about offense. We'll set a reasonable goal.
Yeah,
for the offense to be at least league average the rest of the season. And I actually think the potential is there for them to be better than that.
Now you need to be a tick above.
Yeah. Okay. How far above?
Are we
talking like fringy top 10?
Look, if you tell me that this is a top 12 offense, top 12, top 13 offense, because you need, again, I You got 64 games left. All right. You're 3.5 games out of the wild card spot. Look, would it be great if you were able to catch the Astros? And maybe you could. Sure. Look, they lost 5 out of what? 6.
Yeah.
Should
have been 6 out of 6.
Should have been 6 out of 6. You're damn right it should have been. Your offense is getting better. Your offense was not the reason, for the most part, why you lost the why you went 5-5. Okay, again, as you and I talked about, you should have went 7-3 in that 10-game stretch on the road. So you're feeling good about things. That offense is starting to get better. You don't need your pitching staff to fall off a cliff. I think this All-Star break, you got to take 2 out of 3 from Detroit.
Agreed.
All right, and I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Hell, you already took 2 out of 3 from him once before.
So
you
I
can do
not,
it again.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Go 12th or 13th best offense. Stay where you're at pitching wise. Maybe a slight drop, okay, because that's going to happen. You're going to regress a little bit because it's a long season. But you do that, this team goes 38-26, you're making the playoffs.
By the way, to your original question about the songs, far and away, I think just about every vote I saw was for Johnny Cash. So
okay.
From the 817, obviously I agree with this person. Would love to see DeGrom or Eovaldi win the Rangers' first Cy Young. And from the 817, I just hope the All-Star break didn't actually come at a bad time, as it seemed like we were just getting in an offensive groove. And then we might circle back around to this one. I really want to get Alex's thoughts on this. Would love to see Wyatt Langford make a push to get the 30-30 season since he's at 15-15 right now. We'll talk about that maybe in just a second. Because you're not really at the halfway point of the season.
No, you got 6-4 games left, man. All right. This is not the halfway point.
But I do want to talk about him in a second. Alec, what is your hope for the second half of the regular season?
I really like the Cy Young conversation because I don't really know. I know that's the worst thing to say in this industry. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or not right now because, like you said, I think we might have had the All-Star break at the wrong time. So if they can come back and the bats are looking the same, then I think they really do have a chance to make a playoff push. But if we're just going to say that's up in the air right now, sentimental value, I would love to say that I got to watch a Cy Young season happen for this team, get to watch the first one happen. But something a little bit more specific I would like to see, because I think that he's going to be important to what you're trying to do offensively, is I want to see Jake Berger stay healthy.
100%.
That would be really nice to see him consistently in the lineup, because kind of like we're hoping with Josh Young, I really think his reassignment down to AAA did something. It felt like he was starting to hit the fastball a little bit better. His calling card was looking a little bit more true, at least to my eyes. The numbers might not be beautiful for Jake Berger, but it seemed like defensively, you were getting sound defense. You're not getting gold glove defense. I'm not asking for anything crazy there. You're getting sound defense. It looked like he was getting his timing back and everything. If he could just stay healthy, I think everything else would work itself out.
So, men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness, like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit Men's T Clinic.com. That's mensTclinic.com.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How tough is that? Then he starts the second half on the IL.
It's extremely irritating. Yeah. And, you know, the Rowdy Tellez experience is going to be fun just because he's one of the most physically, like, intimidating first baseman that you're going to put out there on the field.
Yeah.
Really, for the next decade, he's just fun to watch. And then Justin Foscue platooning there with him. You know, hopefully he finds some success early on. That would be nice. But it's really irritating that you're coming out the proverbial, you know, second half. You're starting it off with the guy that I think is going to be an important cog to this machine. He's going to be out for a couple weeks. So I would like to see him find some consistency in his health. You know, I want him getting every day at bats, but right now he's his own worst enemy.
You know, I want to go back to the Wyatt Langford thing for just 1 second, because it is true that they only have like 63, 64 games left, but I guess I didn't totally factor in that Wyatt Langford missed a good chunk of time in the first half. Like, he only played 76 games, and I still think he could step it up. So I would love to see a healthy Wyatt Langford step up in the back half of the season and kind of end
65.
okay, there you go. And end up with a finished product season that looks discernibly better than last year. Because, like, right now, his batting average is down 11 points. His on-base percentage is down 3 points. His OPS is up 16 points. So, like, some improvements, some declines, not totally different across the way. I would love to see a finished product where the WAR looks closer to, you know, 5.5 or 6, and the OPS looks closer to 790, and things like that. And yeah. I think he could still construct that in the back half of the year.
Tell you what, if Wyatt Langford is putting up those kind of numbers in the last 65 games of the season, which, oh, by the way, Brett Boone said on this very station last week on Sean and RJ that this guy, once he gets it together, is going to be a perennial MVP candidate, yeah, and called him Baby Bo Jackson.
Oh, okay. Hey, hopefully he can play for more than 5 seconds.
I mean, that is damn near sounds sacrilege for those of us old enough to remember Bo Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, if you get just in the ballpark, pun intended, I'll take it.
If you had to put together your list of most overrated athletes
it's definitely not going to have Bo Jackson.
Based
on
what they actually did in their career.
If you're trying to besmirch Bo Jackson right now, this could get ugly.
Bo at just first, would you put him at first, second, and third?
Bo Jackson was a freak of nature.
Really?
Look, no one's going to get confused.
Tell me his accomplishments in the professional level.
I don't know, being an all-star and pro bowler in two sports at the same time.
Hey, he did make one pro bowl and one all-star game. You're right.
And how many other players do you know of outside of Deion Sanders and maybe Brian Jordan?
That did it in the same sport, in different sports in the same season? Yeah. That is impressive. I could tell you a lot of players who made one all-star game, though.
And then went on to be the best at their position in another sport. I mean, you're talking about this guy was the best running back and the best outfielder. Really? You don't think
in
Bo
the
Jackson
NFL?
During that year? No! Are you serious? You don't think Bo Jackson that during his short, again, it's the proverbial what if. And I know we're doing NBA, but if we did NFL, give me Bo Jackson all day, every day.
And, you know, I should have expected a fight like this. And I know public sentiment is always against me. So it's the Pro Bowl season,
yeah,
where he ran for 698 yards that, yeah, you're telling me he's the best running back in the league.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, numbers aren't always... They can lie.
Okay.
Sometimes. Not always.
Do you think it was his rookie year when he didn't win rookie of the year? Do you think it was his second or third year when he wasn't in the
Pro Bowl? Look, I know you've prepped this argument, and I know this is something that you've obviously had in your hip pocket for quite some time, and this is kind of like your,
you know. Do
you think
it was any of the seasons he didn't make All-Pro?
I'm not saying Bo Jackson's the greatest athlete of all time, but to suggest that a guy who was a all-star and one of the best
mm-hmm.
running backs and outfielders
mm-hmm.
and in two sports,
mm-hmm.
and we've never... How many have we seen since? How many Bo Jacksons? This tells me all I need. How many Bo Jacksons have we seen since?
Yeah, none, because they saw that it didn't work.
He had a hip injury that we've never seen
happen. And that's why it didn't
work. No, but it was a hip injury because it was a freak accident of a guy tackling him.
Mm.
It wasn't because it didn't work because he couldn't do it. It didn't work because he had a freak injury. And think about it. Okay, think about this. You're a smart guy, and I know you've got this argument prepped already, so let me ask you this. You know how that injury, what happened, right?
On the tackle.
Okay, but no, I'm talking about the injury itself.
Maybe not then.
Okay? It literally, the force of him running and the guy grabbing on his leg, like the hip came out of the socket, okay, at the time of the injury. And still, most people could have killed him. B, never, might not walk again. C, certainly wouldn't play professional sports again. So all I'm saying is this. Yes, maybe he doesn't have the eye-popping stats that suggest, oh, maybe he's one of the greatest of all time.
When you say maybe, you mean definitely, though, right?
I'm saying maybe. Okay. I'm saying maybe. Because, again,
he hit 272 that really blew you away?
Tell you what, who's the leading hitter right now? What's Corey Seager batting right now?
Go back to that year in 1989, though.
What's Corey Seager batting right now?
I'll go look it up. Not 272? I bet it's not 272. Exactly. But you know what? A couple years ago, he hit 60 points higher than that.
And I'm not saying that that's not great. Okay, but to suggest to belittle the achievements of Bo Jackson, maybe the greatest two-sport athlete we've ever seen, for a spell, I won't stand for.
I mean,
I won't stand for it.
That's fine. You might as well sit down. Maybe so I had a maybe I had a reason to wrong.
And you can look. I'll tell you right. I got
because he was on Pro Stars.
I've got a black and blue poster in my Freddie's room from back in the day. Half Royals, half Raiders. He made Chiefs fans Raiders. That tells you all you need to know.
That has nothing to do with his on-field performance.
I tell you what, Tecmo Bowl legend. Don't go there. Don't act like he's not. Don't
I didn't. Like he's not. I'm not acting like
there's
it's
so
not.
So many things. I'm telling you.
The question wasn't but who's you, the best I will video not, game player. Look,
there's certain things I will let slide. Bo Jackson slander's not one of them. Not doing it. Not doing it.
It's a good thing we have to go to break. We should really leave the fan cam on and turn up the volume for our conversation. People who listen to the show a long time know I have hot Bo Jackson takes.
I love it. I'm here. You know what?
It makes people very mad.
I appreciate it. And I appreciate that you are staunch in your belief. Wrong, but I appreciate it.
Well, you're not the first person on the station to call one of my opinions super wrong.
But I'm not going to. But you know what? I'll say this because I was a long time believer that Tupac was still alive. Sometimes you have to be that person that presents facts that people don't want to see. And you know what? You're not wrong in the sense that his numbers don't blow you away.
There you go.
But like 50 Cent said, you know why music is so compelling to us? Because it made us feel a certain way at that time. Mm. Bo Jackson is that for me.
Okay. I can respect that.
So there you go.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway if you didn't already think that was it. If you could have magically granted an NBA player, past or present, health throughout their career, who would you pick and why? 877-881-1053. And I swear to God, don't say Bo Jackson. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Throws left, throws in the lane, throws good! Derrick Rose and the Bulls come back to take a one-point lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, straight away from the 520. It's Derrick Rose because he would be in the conversation for the best player of all time. Woo! And he was just fun as hell to watch. And that's what I love with this segment. We've already talked baseball last week. We did football last week as well. So now we move to basketball. If you could have magically granted an NBA player, past or present, health throughout their career, who would you pick? Now, you know one of the people I'm going to get to in a minute is probably my second choice, but I think Derrick Rose is my first choice. I'm not saying that it definitely would have been him, but I think it's been lost to time that Derrick Rose was ready to compete with LeBron for face of the NBA.
He sure was. No, he really was. I mean, if you go back to those 2012, 2013 Bulls teams, man, I mean, that was must-watch basketball right there. No, you're right. We got robbed of really, LeBron got robbed in a way of having kind of that
Magic Bird thing.
He really did.
Because then I know Steph came along like later. And that created some captivating moments with the Warriors. But Derrick Rose won
Plus
the
NBA. Plus, he was a Bull.
Yeah. My son loves the Bulls.
Plus, he was a Bull.
So Derrick Rose won the MVP when he was 22. And I remember the injury. I believe it was in that playoff run because we kind of thought that maybe the Bulls could take down the Heat and that would be your finals.
Yeah.
Bulls
no,
against
absolutely.
The Mavs. And he had a very solid career the rest of the way, but just never got anywhere close to the heights where it looked like he would be in conversation for best player, like consistently year over year over year.
He had that Russell Westbrook-like athleticism, but there was just something where it was just even twitchier than Russell Westbrook. Like, Russell Westbrook can still get up and down the court and amazingly well in his mid to late 30s, but we forget just how much of a freak he was athletically, and I'll never forget talking to Kendrick Perkins, and he said Russell Westbrook had muscles in his face.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way Derrick Rose was. Yeah. And he could shoot, unlike Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And he could shoot.
That is a good point.
Except for free throws.
Ayo! Do you have one in particular that you want to start with that jumps to
mind? I've got a wild list. I really, really do. Two of them are dead. That said, I'm going to go with an oldie but goodie for all my 90s heads out there, Antonio McDice.
Ooh.
Antonio McDice.
School Denver McDice. Okay. Denver Nuggets.
You almost said Denver McNugget. Well, he kind of turned into a Denver
McNugget. I definitely almost said Denver McNugget.
You almost said Denver McNugget, and I'm here for it because I'm pretty sure I've said it once or twice in my life, too. We forget just how good Antonio McDice was the first three or four years of his NBA career.
Yeah.
That guy was an absolute menace to society on the basketball floor, and he had just a – he was kind of like a poor man's Sean Kemp in a way.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, and had athletic – I mean, could jump out the gym, great offensively, defensively, had himself a nice little mid-range jump shot, but hurt his knee and was just never the same guy. I would have loved to have seen what kind of basketball player Antonio McDice could have been.
Now, I am curious to see if that comes up on the list because this is one that is very local. Might be people who are huge late 80s basketball fans who are like, I'm totally with you on that. From the 214, from the 817, and then from another 817, Roy Tarpley.
So okay.
Roy Tarpley was
More self-inflicted, wasn't it?
Definitely. Yeah. And that's
there's anything wrong with
that. No, there's another player up there because we got some votes for Josh Hamilton for baseball.
Yes.
And a lot of that has to do with his own decisions.
Call what it was.
And so I think Roy Tarpley will fit in here. I've already seen a couple of votes for Len Bias. We can have that conversation as well. So Roy Tarpley, sixth man of the year. He was really going toe-to-toe with James Worthy and on more than one occasion getting the best of him. In the Mavericks going to the finals going to game 7 of the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers. And what I think people lose sight of, the Mavericks were so bad in the early 90s, like the worst franchise in sports. Yeah. And part of that was going to be their next franchise player. And then he got, I still think this is a really interesting fact. Did you know that Roy Tarpley got banned for life from the NBA twice? And I think that's a really impressive accomplishment. Maybe impressive is not the right
word. Two lifetime bans?
Yeah, he got banned for life, and they're like, all right,
we'll back. We'll rescind this.
And then...
hold my beer.
Banned for life again. Alec, do you have one you want to throw out there before we go to the text, Twitch, and YouTube?
You know, I always dunk on this guy. It's a current player. And I love the jokes. I love the memes. But after reading, I think it was the ESPN article about him this week and some of the things that he went through and the kind of basketball character he has, really would have loved to see his knee hold up. Joel Embiid. That's
calling it a career on our boy Joel already.
Yeah, well, I'm not calling it a career on him. I just want to see if the knee never got hurt.
Okay, I get you because
I read the story about him, the conversations between him and his trainer with the Sixers during that playoff run with James Harden, and hearing how hurt he is about that he really tried. At first, it felt like an effort thing. It felt like he didn't want to show up.
Yeah.
But then you read the story from people outside of his camp saying, oh, no, he was going against doctor's orders. He was doing all the wrong things. And then he goes up and puts 30 points up on a minute's restriction when he really shouldn't have been playing at all in a playoff game. And I'm like, my respect for him went up a little bit this week. So now I'm like, That Harden pick and roll, what would that have looked like if he was actually healthy this whole time? But the ultimate answer is always going to be Derrick Rose.
From the 520 and the 214 and the 817 T-Mac.
Yeah.
So
that's a good one. I thought about that one too.
Tracy McGrady, he was all second team NBA 2001 and 2004. Wedged in between that, he was first team All-NBA in back-to-back years. So by the time he was 25, he had already been listed as part of the best 10 players in the NBA four consecutive years.
Yeah.
That's an incredible one, and he's another one who I think, we've talked about this a lot on the show, and I think this will resonate with you. There are so many players that if you weren't really into sports for that like five-year period of time, that you don't know how great they were. Like we talked about, like Mark Burley was an example that we got.
What a great, because
he got a statue up there and people were like, oh, really? Oh, and Mark, I'm like, Burley, man, there's like 4 years where that dude was just like shut it down and obviously helped them with the World Series. T-Mac is somebody that I don't know if they fall quite into that category, but I don't know if people appreciate how really awesome he was.
I don't think people do. I mean, those Orlando Magic years. I mean, look, it was supposed to be him and Tim Duncan.
For sure.
Right? Like, that was supposed to be... Well, remember, Tim Duncan was supposed to go to the Magic.
Yeah.
I mean, that was supposed to be the duo right there. So, no, and let's not forget those first pair of T-Mac shoes that Adidas put out. Not bad shoes either. Your boy had a pair back in the early 2000s. So, no, T-Mac, now, I'll tell you what, and to guys with small calves everywhere, Tell you what, you're feeling bad about yourself? Go look at T-Mac's calves, okay? And the fact this guy had an NBA career for as long as he did, that might be the most incredible fact of his career.
I've seen multiple votes for Kristaps Porzingis, but yeah. I'm going to throw it to cut number six. And I admit there might be some bias in this, but, dude, I think, if not for injuries, I think this guy would have been incredible throughout his NBA career.
Grant Hill. Oh, my. Bragging rights at the moment belong to Hill in the Heat's house. And the dynamite dunk right down the pipe at morning.
And Grant Hill is another one that I'm going to go right back to. He was co-rookie of the year with Jason Kidd. He made second team All-NBA 4 times out of 5 years. And the one he didn't, he was first team All-NBA. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at 5 straight seasons. And that finished up with him only being 28.
Yeah.
Where he was consistently top 5 or top 10 in the NBA. And I think he would have just stacked and stacked and stacked those numbers on there. And when you talk about positionless basketball, I'm not saying he's the first player right. who fit that bill. But man, if he wasn't one of them, that felt like he accelerated the move to positionless basketball.
Tell you what, he was a more advanced offensive Scottie Pippen. Now, maybe not as good defensively as Scottie was, because I think we do forget just what a freak show Scottie was defensively. Yes. But offensively, I mean, and look, one of his highlights is him just actually putting Scottie in a blender on the wing and then just dunking all over everybody. And to all my sneakerheads out there, had a incredible debut shoe from Fila.
Oh. I don't think I remember that.
They had it had a big F on the kind of the back of the heel and the blue around the sides. And if you know, you know. If you saw the shoe, you'd remember it.
Okay.
If you saw the shoe, you'd remember it.
Obviously, I'm going to go look it up.
Of course you are.
What do you think about? We didn't talk about this guy a great deal, Len Bias, because Len Bias. Was going to be, look, if you've...
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T-Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T-Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness, like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T-Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit Men's T-Clinic. That's menstclinic.com.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a documentary about him that's really fascinating. Is talking about how like people in college thought he can't miss prospect. Yeah, and that will be Jordan's rival. And if you look at how the Celtics fell out and did not become the team of the 80s, that would have been right at the time. Than Len Bias.
The team of the 90s, you mean?
No, the team of the 80s for the Celtics.
Right.
That would have been right at the time when Len Bias.
Oh, yeah, because it was what, 86?
Yeah, exactly. Was there to potentially pop them up for maybe another NBA championship or two.
Who's going to take the throne from Larry.
And then who knows what the 90s could have looked
like.
Well,
and I'll do you one kind of on that same ilk, sticking with the Celtics, because you're right. Len Bias was supposed to be that torchbearer. And then Reggie Lewis.
Man, Reggie Lewis is a good one. I haven't thought about him in a while.
Reggie Lewis was another one that, the Celtics had a rough go there for about a 6-7 year stretch between Len Bias and Reggie Lewis. I'll throw one more out at you. Yao Ming.
Man, so I still remember to this day the first Yao Ming and Shaq matchup.
Yeah.
And how, like, freaking pumped I was for that. Like, having no... personal
no dog in that hunt. Exactly.
I was just so excited to see that. And when like Yao would throw up those blocks, I was like, oh my God, he's gonna be so good forever. And like he showed those slashes straight away.
Hey, Yao for a fiver, like again, to your I tell you what, you may want to do a segment on that. Guys who had 4 to 5 year just dominant runs, okay?
But they don't get remembered.
But they don't get remembered. And look, I get Yao's in the Hall of Fame, and you know a lot of that has as much to do with the fact that he literally introduced the NBA to China, all right? And half of China's, you know, look, they love red anyway. Why not be Rockets fans?
Wow.
Okay? Why not be Rockets fans?
Wow. Okay? Geopolitical talk right here on the fan.
I thought we were 1080. Seamless transition.
Don't think I didn't understand that.
I knew you did.
And
I knew you did.
That's what I get worried about with Wemby. You know, I know what took Wemby out this past year was his blood clot as opposed to foot issues. But there's just something about human beings that big that I just
it's not normal.
I fundamentally worry about their bodies.
I'm with. And G-Bag talked about this after the Flag debut, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think you and I are 1A, 1B when it comes to Cooper Flag.
I love Cooper.
All right. I am a Cooper Flag stan. All right. I'm here to say it.
Can I shout out Triple Play in Rowlett? Definitely made a sizable amount of basketball card purchases there.
For Cooper Flag?
Yes.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now. I tried to go get me a Cooper Flag jersey. I had to get an Anthony Davis one instead. But because it said Davis 3, and I'm Davis 3, so it just kind of made sense.
Oh, yeah.
But, I spent time in Maine. My daughter was born in Maine. He's got the same birthday as my son. So,
cool.
6 degrees of Fred and Cooper Flag. And I'm sure you've heard this stat. First white boy from America drafted number one since...
Andrew Bogut.
White boy from America.
Why?
Remember, Andrew Bogut was Australian.
I know. That's why I was ruling him out. I am honestly not sure. I have heard this stat.
1977.
Okay.
I don't think enough people really truly comprehended that. Like, for a sport as big as basketball, all right, we have not had an American-born white boy that we can get excited about since Larry Bird.
Man, I have not heard that stat. That is fascinating. I like the 817, another 817, Grant Hill, 903-504, Grant Hill. Yeah. I'm going to take another person from that general time frame, pretty close, though not exactly the same, just a couple years off from the 682. There is one answer, and only one answer here. Go ahead and give me cut number 8, if you will. They say this is the only answer. You'll have to trust me on this.
Here's Hardaway against Curry. Penny up and under, scoops it in with a left hand. That was sweet.
Yes, it was sweet, David.
Again, we go back to the 30 for 30. And I know that's like, there is way more about it, but that magic moment and talking about the finals appearance and how that was going to be your tandem. Now, I know it fell apart for two different reasons with the two different players, but Penny's injuries, man, that dude at...
What, 6'7"?
Yeah, at 24 and 25, back-to-back first-team All-NBA appearances.
Yeah.
And so I know it doesn't exactly work out like this because there could be mitigating factors each year, but in back-to-back years, he was considered one of the best five players in the NBA.
Yeah.
And he was playing along with somebody who, obviously, we had this discussion, you know, multiple times, top 10 player in the history of the NBA or fringy if you
somewhere
don't believe. Yeah, exactly. 8 to 12 range, I would definitely
have
listen
to another 100%.
Yeah, and so like those two together, super young.
You can't ask for,
unbelievable.
That's Y2 or NBA 2K type stuff.
Especially for an expansion team. I know that wasn't like the very first year, but a team that was new, that was like the NBA's freaking dream.
And throw Scott Skiles in the mix? I mean, what are we talking about?
Scotty Skiles.
Huh?
There is a time.
Sprinkle a little Horace Grant with the blue goggles?
Absolutely. What? So from the 682, the person who said one answer only, I did want to let you know that was on my list. I also wanted to go a little old school.
Because I've got an old school one for you, too.
Ooh, okay. Let's hear yours.
Hank Gathers.
Oh, man. The Guru of Go, part of that team.
I mean, look, if we're going to talk Len Bias, I don't think we give near enough credit to... And then Bo Kimble shooting left-handed free throws.
That Loyola Marymount team, again, it's a certain time and place that if you saw it, it was unlike anything you'd ever seen before.
Seriously.
That is a really good answer. So this is going to sound weird, but I made reference to the Celtics potentially being the team of the 80s, perhaps if not for the death of Len Bias.
Okay.
But I'm going to go to cut number 7, and I know he had injury problems throughout his career, but his second act could have been amazing with the Celtics. Give me cut number 7.
Here's Davis who got it. Gross misses, and Walton is there on the follow-up with that tremendous rebounding position.
Bill Walton.
I was going to say, are we going with Billy Dubb?
Bill Walton, I think the fact that he was healthy all year is one of the reasons that the 85-86 Celtics are certainly one of the greatest teams of all time.
Yeah.
Now, even in his backup capacity, if he could have played like that the next year and the next year, even though he played almost none, those 2 years would have been huge. And this is for somebody who in his first act had already been an MVP of the league. Mm. Bill Walton is somebody that would have loved to see how his career
played. If we're going to stick with that era, I will also throw one more name out there, Bernard King.
And Bernard King was a hell of a
scorer. Bernard King was a bucket getter.
Yeah.
Knee injuries, and like I said, it just goes back to, you know, what we talked about with Derrick Rose, the knee in basketball. I mean, really in any sport, but especially in basketball. I mean, it can take a guy from being a bona fide superstar to just a regular dude that quick. Now, they're still good. I mean, look, Bernard King still had a good career, but I don't know that we look at Bernard King in the same vein as Derrick Rose of what could have been post-knee injury.
And that's one of the things that fascinates me about having this conversation across all of the sports that we've done so far. Some people pick the player because it was their favorite player.
Yeah.
Some people pick the player because it was their favorite team. Other people pick a player because they're like, that person was going to be great.
Yes.
Like, maybe you're not a Washington at the time Bullets fan, or maybe you weren't an Orlando Magic fan, but you saw the potential for like all-time greatness in some of these players. Now, I just saw this come up. I haven't really seen a ton of votes for this particular player yet, but from the 469, is no one going to mention Anthony Davis? Obviously here, that is a very personal feeling, but if you could give him health throughout his career, then I don't think you would have probably heard anybody complain. Well, that's not true. You would have heard far less, far fewer complaints about the Luka deal.
Well, the thing, though, we do realize he's still a 10-time All-Star.
Yeah. But like, but that's the thing. That's that category is, do you wonder?
DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, Boogie.
That's probably another guy if we're going to go recent. I mean, tell you what, let's take another one. Sean Livingston.
Do you think he would have gotten to the same heights as Boogie? I can see Anthony Davis. I can see.
I get it, that's one of those what ifs as far as, okay, if this guy just becomes like an all-star and has a good career, but we'll never know because, I mean, he literally, his knee went in different directions it's not supposed to go.
You know, I hadn't considered this from the 254 since you talk about various producers potentially being...
Fighting each other?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. No, we're not doing that.
Okay.
Being your...
illegitimate children?
Exactly.
Yes.
From the 254, is it possible that you sired Cooper Flagg?
You know, it's funny. It's a running joke that we've made on Fan After Dark, and the answer to that is no.
Okay.
For the simple reason that I was out of Maine for a number. I left Maine in 2003. Did have to go back for a quick jail stint in 2004.
Oh,
Spent my 2004 spring break at the Maine State Prison in Portland, Maine. So, yeah. Asserted dominance early, though, and we live to tell the tale. So
I like how you thought my initial concern about you being in prison was, were you able to assert dominance? I appreciate that that's what you thought my
look, if you're going to be a lone wolf, then you have to. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you a lone wolf?
I absolutely am.
I've seen your phone.
Okay.
I don't know.
These are my kids. Those are my children. Thank you very much.
I mean, beyond that screen.
No. Lone wolf here. And no, absolutely. Because I had a good buddy of mine in Beaumont who he'd done a 10-year bid. And I said, so, you know, what gang, you know, who you with? And he said, no, I let it be known very early that I was not to be trifled with. Now, Ray was also 6'4", 260 pounds. So Ray was somebody that you weren't going to trifle with.
Was that stint something that you feel like you learned all the way from, or did we still need to make a couple more mistakes before we learned all the way?
Well, I mean, this was back in, I mean, I met Ray after the fact, so.
No, I mean the prison run.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd say it wasn't prison. It was the Maine State Prison, but it was actually just for drunk driving.
Okay. So. Is it wrong that because it's Maine, I envision they give it's you your tennis outfit?
Look, it's Maine. There. It's let's not. I mean, this wasn't Rikers Island. Okay, this wasn't the TDCJ. All right, which by the way, you know, we are all for rehabilitation here.
Yes,
but for sure. Yeah, it was. You know, it was back in my wilier days.
Okay,
so
yeah,
we have been incarceration free since 21 years straight.
Hell
Thank
yeah.
You very much. Thank you very much.
Always another opportunity to have a better life.
No, and you know what the number one rule, real quick, number one rule of being in prison is?
Don't talk about prison.
Mind your own business.
Oh, okay.
Mind your own business.
That actually makes,
makes a lot of sense.
Lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
By the way, real quick, I wanted to throw this out there. As long as we're in the NBA space,
yeah.
Damian Lillard going to the Trailblazers. I saw a report that I was fascinated by, and it said, dozens of teams were looking for Damian Lillard.
No, they weren't.
So let's think about that for a second.
No, they weren't.
Because dozens would implicate more than one dozen. So yeah. It can be two dozen, which means at least 24 teams in the NBA were trying to get Damian Lillard.
No. 24 teams might have called
yeah,
and said, hey, we'll give you the vet minimum.
I could see that.
Yeah. A vet minimum, 3 years. You know what? What's the vet minimum? $5-6 million
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we'll give you $10 million for a 2 year deal because you're not getting. You realize he's 35 now.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get him till age 36 year.
Yeah.
So, you know, and what does he have? I mean, look, God bless the Portland Trailblazers. Like, what are they doing? I don't know.
What is it that you know that Nikola Jokic loves besides basketball? And that's questionable.
I would say drinking beer.
And?
Eating lamb chops.
I was looking for, he loves horses.
Oh, that's right. He does, doesn't he? I forgot about that.
Have you seen the intriguing yet horrifying gift that he received while he was on tour in China?
No.
With his shoe partner, 361 Degrees, somebody made him a horse head out of shoes. And it kind of looks like it. Actually, no, it really looks like it. And he looks stoked about it.
I mean, it's the little things in life, man. You look, what did you say about Mike McCarthy? If you're going to set that precedent,
if you're
going to
tell
me
the little things matter, then show up on time for your press conference.
Apparently, that's all Jokic needs.
Like, this is the most excited I've seen him look outside of when his horse won that race in the entire offseason. He's like, oh, you made this? And, like, he is pumped about this horse head.
I got to go back to the horses.
Okay, there's Corey weighing in. We'll probably.
What'd you say his shoe was called?
Corey's?
No, the Jokic shoes.
361 the company, the shoe partner is 361 degrees.
Oh, that.
So you turned 1 degrees. I think the idea is like we go 1 degree further, but
no,
I understand.
But I'm saying, but that's the brand.
Yep.
I
think maybe that's like a.
An off brand
like
Chinese brand? I mean, what are we talking about?
Perhaps, as opposed to. Like, I don't know. I'll look into
like
that.
Nike or Adidas.
I have
or,
to admit, I was not prepared for follow-up 361 degrees questions.
No, because I'm like, what
now
the hell?
I will
what
go.
What kind of shoe company is this?
Look that up. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I got some more Cowboys information as well as some Cowboys numbers. Maybe make money on next on The Fan.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit Men's T Clinic. That's menstclinic.com.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.